Greetings, everyone. All those who are here today, good to see you. All those who are online, welcome. And I'm just hoping we can go ahead and pray before we do anything more. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, I thank you now, Lord, for your leading, guiding, and direction, Lord God. Oh, for the precious Holy Ghost, Lord God, that quickeneth, Lord God, all our thoughts, Lord Jesus, our words, our actions, oh Lord God. For you are the great comforter, Lord God. You are that gift, Lord Jesus. We thank you for it in the Holy Ghost. And Lord God, you commanded upon us, oh Lord, that all things are fulfilled in you, Lord Jesus. And that the fulfillment of the law is that if you love one another. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that spirit, Lord God. For we know that by that you know, Lord Jesus, we know those who are governed by thy spirit, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that you would lead, guide, and direct all those that are online today, Lord God, all those that are here, that your mercy, grace, and truth would go forward, that the blood of Christ would cleanse, would deliver, would heal. Oh, Lord God, but that your spirit would take over tonight. Oh, Lord God, you are truly invited here. Let your abiding presence be here upon us today. In Jesus' name we pray under the blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, it's good to see that there's Jenny and Joe were able to make it here today. I know Sam is going to be out of town going to a wedding along with Jane and Anna. And Joe is going to be helping out when Sam isn't here, and ever so thankful for that. And I appreciate very much appreciative, and thank you, Jenny and Joe, for being so gracious and kind to fill in.
Amen.
And also, I have a announcement for that Memorial Day picnic is on Monday, May 27th. And it's over at Lakeview Park, and there are directions here. Anybody who might be online who would like to come, just get a hold of us. Amen. And there's a note here for an Alicia Mall. Sam, do you know if this is just a recent prayer request, or is that an old one? Alicia Mall wants prayer for her son Justin. I don't know if that's an old one or not. I just noticed it right here. That's okay. We'll just pray for him anyways, brother. No problem. And we'll go from there.
Yeah, I think that's an
older one. Oh, it is? Okay. All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, Sam said that it's an older request, but we will keep them in our prayers nevertheless. And just would like to get into the prayers, our praise and worship now, and ask that the Lord would be with us. If we could go to 75 in the hymn book, it's called Higher Ground. I know that the Lord would require us to come up higher. I mean, we live here in a day now, too, where you know, pressures build all over our lives. All around us, there are pressures. There are things to deal with. But one way that we can know, in spite of all the pressures in life, the Lord would want us to still come up higher. Because when we're in that higher place, that's where we find our resolve. that protection, that abiding presence of the Lord to get us through, to see us through it all. No matter what we're going through, all the pressures in life.
Yeah.
And so, if we could just sing that and let the Lord lead, guide, and direct. Amen. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table in a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table and a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table in a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me unto higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table in a higher place than I have found. Lord, lift me on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table in a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to Him. Glory to Him. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the Lord God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you for your protection, Lord, for your mercy, your long suffering, your forbearance, oh Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, for your mercy, oh Lord God. Thank you, Lord. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. Amen.
Amen.
Every morning. kind of like that song in the garden, number 49, that we'll be going to. How that Adam and Eve sinned before God and took of that forbidden fruit, and yet there was the Lord walking in the cool of the day, calling out to Adam, to Eve, so gracious and merciful. In spite of their sin, he knew they were but dust. He had so great a mercy, and to die on that cross for our sins. Wow. Yeah, what mercy. Unfathomable mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
I can't even wrap my head around it. Even the thought of it. It's just it's beyond my ability to comprehend. The Lord has done so great a work. He deserves all the praise that we could possibly give. All the honor and all the glory is His. I praise His name today.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God.
I know you do too.
Praise you, Lord.
Because you also know that mercy and grace and truth. Also the benefactor of what the Lord has done in your life. How gracious and kind. If we could go there now, sing that song, In the Garden. Just give your heart to the Lord. Amen. Give Him all the praise and the glory. Let's sing that. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. He speaks in the sound of His voice, is so sweet the birds hush their singing, and the melody that He gave to me within my heart is ringing, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with Him, though the night around me be falling, but He bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, any joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. As he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other can ever know. Sure love those.
Praise Jesus. Thank you.
I don't know about you, but I just kind of go back a ways. And I'm only 51 years old, but I remember listening to those gospel hour programs, Minneapolis, and hearing those old time hymns and hearing some old time preacher come on the radio.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Boy, I sure miss that. So praise God.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm hoping now that we can sing a song in the chorus. God can do anything, number 89. God can do anything. Anything at all. Let's go there. Number 89. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. He can do anything at all.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
If there were to be stories written about God's deliverance and testimonies of people that would come forth and say what the Lord had done for them, there would be volumes that couldn't be written. It would be too much.
That's right. Praise God.
And the Lord has done so much. He can do anything at all. He can deliver you, help you, save you, heal you. But you see, the Lord requires that we do one thing, have faith. Have faith and go to Him in prayer.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible talks about that in Deuteronomy. How that if anything is too hard a matter, that we should give it to the Lord and He would look into it. He would judge it. He would take care of it.
Praise you, Lord.
I praise God for that sovereign hand of His. I say sovereign hand.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Praise you, Jesus.
Perhaps we could go now and just sing about a little faith. Even a little faith can move mountains.
That's right.
But that faith must be in the Lord, not in ourselves, and truly not in our own ability, because we can do nothing apart from Him. I know that. You know that. We all know that. We all know that. Where is it? Okay, number 70, 78. I'm going the wrong way. Keep walking by faith. Why don't we sing that tonight? Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Oftentimes, He wants to help more than we're willing to let Him help.
That's right.
Praise God. Well, why don't we take up the tithes and offerings, and if anybody has a prayer request or a testimony or anything at all, then please raise your hand. We'd be happy to not only hear it, but to shout it from the rooftops. And pray if anyone has a prayer need or concern at all. Amen. Praise God. Well, I would just like to say it's good to have people show up today on a Wednesday night. And it's a praiseworthy and a noteworthy thing to see that. I just want to say thank you for everyone who's here tonight.
Praise the Lord.
All those who are gracious to be with us online. Because you know that we know that these are the end days. And the Bible talks about that there is a famine in the land. And how rare is it to find people that will remain true and faithful to the Word of God and to be led of His Spirit. In this day and hour, it's sorely missed. It's rarely found. It's almost extinct. I've been all over the country. I've been all over the world, and I've seen churches, organizations, even so-called missions organizations reaching out to the lost who many, I'm sad to say, were cold, dead, and tired. Old bones, dry bones. And how we need the gift of the Holy Ghost to breathe life into us every day.
Yes, amen.
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 Every one of us, we know we all need that. And it's good to know that we can go to a church and be fed. Now, I'm not saying we're the only church. There are other ministries out there that do bring forth truth, and I thank God for it. Wherever you are, praise God for you. So I guess that's all I needed to say. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, thank you for these tithes, gifts, and offerings. And Lord, I pray that you would use these monies now, Lord God. Help us to continue to be good stewards, Lord God, of every penny that comes in. To be found faithful at your coming, Lord God. Oh, in Jesus we pray under the blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Okay. I'll just give it over to Shirley now. Praise God. By the way, that picnic is at 11 a.m., just so you know.
And we meet here at the church, actually.
Huh?
We meet here at the church.
Yeah. We'll be here at the church to start it off.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. God is good. He's helped us. He's brought us here tonight. It's wonderful to see everybody that's here. Thank God for you. Thank God that Joe and Jenny could join us. That's a pleasure. That's a blessing. Everybody else is a blessing, too. Thank God for you all. Everybody online, and oh my, the fact that God would join us, that God would be here, that we could be in His presence and have this special time with Him. I'm so thankful. Let's go to God in prayer as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we need you, Jesus. We thank you, God. Oh, Lord, for all the things that you've done for us, Lord. Oh, God, it's beyond our understanding even, Lord. Oh, God, your blessings, they abound. Oh, God, and what you did for us at Calvary, Lord. Oh, God, how you led captivity free, Lord. Gifts unto man, Lord. Oh God, how you did a work, oh Lord, that we might be delivered, that we might be set free, that we might be your sons and daughters. Oh God, that we might be joint heirs with Christ. Oh God, you did so much for us, Lord. God, you did so much for us, God, and I pray that you would help us to rise up. Oh God, help us, oh Lord, to declare it. Help us to do your work, oh Lord. Help us, oh Lord, to be obedient as your children, God. We need you here in this place, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you'd loosen us, oh Lord. Oh God, that you loosen us from everything that would tie us down and make us captives, God. I pray, oh God, that you send freedom here tonight, the freedom of the Holy Ghost, oh God, abounding in our hearts, God, setting us free, Lord Jesus. Oh God, for we need you here. We need you, Jesus. We need you, oh God, more than life itself, Lord. And God, I pray, oh God, that you would bind every hindering spirit, Lord. Everything that would come against us, we bind it in Jesus' name. I take authority over it in Jesus' name. Oh God, I plead your blood and ask that you be here, Lord. Oh God, and that you loosen your angels to minister here in this place, God. Oh Lord. Oh God, that this word, oh God, oh might have recourse in the Spirit, Lord, that you might use it, God, that you might give us ears to hear, oh God, that you might give us a mind to perceive, Lord, we need you, Lord, I pray that you'd stir our hearts, oh God, that the strong man be bound, oh Lord, and cast out, let him have no work here, Jesus, in your precious name, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood, oh God, we give this to you, Lord, we give this service to you, we ask that you would work in our hearts and help us, Lord. Oh God, for we're poor and needy, God, we can do nothing without you, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, you're the vine and we are but the branches. I pray, oh God, that you'd help us, oh Lord. Oh God, in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood. Amen.
Amen.
Oh. Oh, praise God. God is so good to us. He's so good. Praise the Lord. And wow, praise God. This is something that's been in my heart for actually quite a while, and it didn't seem like God was going to have me speak it until now. So this message I'm going to call Deliverance from Captivity. Deliverance from Captivity. And I'm going to be talking about three different kinds of captivities. And to begin here tonight, let's go to Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. Again, I'm so glad that we could put our trust in the Lord. We don't have much time, I don't think, to get right with the Lord and to do the things that He's put in our heart to do. I know one thing, when He comes, I want to be doing His will.
Amen.
I want to be doing His will. That's
Amen.
What's going to matter at that moment, that we're doing His will. Amen. Okay, going to Jeremiah, the 29th chapter here. Praise the Lord. Praise God. In this chapter, we have words from Jeremiah, of course, the prophet, and he's sending them as a means of a letter to the elders that were carried away, captives, and the priests, the prophets, all those. Nebuchadnezzar had come in, the Babylonians had come in, and they'd taken Jerusalem by this time. They'd led away the king and the queen and all of that, and they were departed. But God had a plan for His people. Even though many of them were carried away to Babylon, God had promised to go with them in spite of the captivity, in spite of all the sin that preceded the captivity. God was going to be with His people, and He promised them that. And here in this letter, Jeremiah is reassuring the people and instructing them, and he's telling them that they can live normal lives, even though they're in captivity, even though they're in Babylon, and even though they've been carried away. He told them that they were to build houses and dwell in them, to plant gardens and eat of that, and they were to take wives and have children and all of that. And also one very interesting thing that I think is amazing, verse 7 in this chapter says, "And seek the peace of the city, whether I've caused you to be carried away captives." And then he said, "And pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace." And I thought that was so interesting. I don't know ourselves what could befall us in the future, but I thought it was so interesting that he told them to pray for the peace of the city, that it might be well with them, and they might enjoy that semblance of a peace there, that they might have that freedom. And I think that's something that we could put in our heart too. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know God has promised that He would be with us even to the end of the world. We have that reassurance, and we can stand on it just as the children of Israel could stand on the promises of God in this case too. And then there was also a warning. They were told by Jeremiah to not allow the prophets and the diviners to deceive them, that spirit of deception. And you know, that spirit is so prevalent in this day too, that spirit of deception. And it was there among the Israelites at this former time too. And they were told by Jeremiah neither to hearken to them or their dreams. And he said in verse 9, "For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord." But he went on to tell them also that the Lord had said that there would be 70 years. They had a specific, exact amount of time that they were told that would be accomplished at Babylon. And the promise was that after 70 years, God would visit them again and allow them to return. And how beautiful to have that promise in the midst of their captivity. But God gave that to them, even though they were carried away as exiles, as fugitives, far away from home. Yet they had the promises of God there to dwell on and to hide in their hearts. And a beautiful thing continues in this scripture here. Here in verse 11 here in this 29th chapter says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God desired peace toward them. And he didn't hide things in his heart. He didn't have evil toward his people at all. He desired that they would have peace and the peace of God. And here's a beautiful promise. Look at verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Oh, how beautiful. And verse 13 is so special. And ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Oh, I love that. That is the secret to finding God. It says, and ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. When it's your utmost desire to find the Lord, to get closer to Him, to have Him in your life, to receive the Holy Ghost, when you seek with all your heart, there's that promise. Yes, that he would be found of you, that he would come unto you. And verse 14 says, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And here it is, and I will turn away your captivity. I will turn away your captivity. When you find the Lord, he does something in your life. He turns away the captivity. We all had been under the bondage of Satan at one point in our life. We had all gone astray. We all were sinners. We all needed a Savior. But wow, there was one day when the Lord reached down and found us and brought us up out of that so-called miry clay and set our feet upon a rock, the rock Christ Jesus. Amen. He was found of us, or we were found of Him. How precious it was. It says in verse 14, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. There was that promise that they would go back to Judea, to Jerusalem, and that it would be restored. And he would turn away their captivity. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God for that wonderful promise. You know, as exiles, it wasn't a very happy time. It really wasn't. We get just a little glimpse of it if we go to Psalms 137. Psalms 137, if we can just read a few verses here in that chapter. And here they are. They were carried off to Babylon. And verse 1 says in this chapter, 137, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. And here Zion refers to Jerusalem. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Oh my, here it was. They were captives. And oh my, as they were being carried away, they just were being mocked. And oh, they said, sing us a song. Sing us a song. We want to hear one of those songs of Zion. But their hearts were heavy. They were distressed. They were in trouble. They didn't know what the future held. And they couldn't sing that song. They were in bondage. And you know what? It's so wonderful when the Lord delivers us from the bondage of sin and sets us free and takes us out of the hands of the enemy, sets our feet upon that rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, that's such a beautiful thing. It's such a beautiful thing. And you know, I think of Psalms 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And then it says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Oh my, when we're delivered, when we're set free, we've got a song. It comes out of our heart. It's something we want to give to the Lord. Oh my, those hands go up. We want to praise the Lord. We want to exalt Him. We want to honor Him. He's our all in all when we come to Him. He puts that song in our heart. And oh my, there's times it's likely to burst. It's going to come out. because the Lord put it there. Even praise unto our God. It says many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And praise the Lord, there was a time period when the Hebrews got to go back. They got to go back to Judea. And Psalms 126 refers to that. Let's look at Psalms 126 there for a moment. Oh my, they couldn't sing the Lord's song while they were being carried off. They couldn't sing those songs of Zion. But wow, that day of release came. That day of deliverance came for them. Praise the Lord, that day came. And they could sing again. And here it is, Psalms 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad.
Oh, thank you.
Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Oh my, the Lord turned it. He turned all of that again. And wow, when our trust and hope is in the Lord can do that for us too. He can take us out of those hard places. He can deliver us out of the hands of the enemy. He can set our feet upon that rock, Christ Jesus, and put that song in our heart. That song that many shall hear and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a day of happiness that was when they got to leave, when they finally got to go back home. And here it is. Our mouth was filled with laughter. Our tongue was singing. They were happy again. And then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. They could tell. The heathen could tell that the Lord had exalted them and honored them and blessed them. The Lord could tell. The Lord had done great things for them. Oh, praise the Lord. He had turned their captivity. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God for that wonderful day of deliverance. And then there's another deliverance that I want to talk about just briefly here. Going to the book of Job for a moment. And I want to talk about Job's captivity for a short time here. Of course, we are quite familiar with the story of Job. And often have talked of it. But, you know, he had a tremendous amount of things come upon him in a very, very short time. It caused a tremendous upheaval in his life. And here it was. The first chapter of Job tells us how God was bragging on Job. He really was. He was bragging upon him. He said, there's none like him in all the earth. He was actually telling Satan that. And he was called a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. He hated evil. He was a righteous judge. He was fearing God. He wanted to do the things that pleased God, this man, Job. And God esteemed him perfect and upright. I mean, wow, what more could we want than to God to think of us that highly? But Satan, of course, thought there was a reason that Job feared God. It wasn't for naught. There had to be something behind Job, you know, some payback or something, you know. And Satan thought that if God took away the hedge that was around Job and he was afflicted, he was distressed, if upheaval came into his life, then Job would not serve God. So God allowed certain upheaval to come into Job's life. It was amazing. And I see, as I was looking over this scripture, how it was God who allowed it. Satan could not touch this man, but God allowed it. And suddenly there was that day, and it must have been, oh my, what a troublesome day. You know, Job had been blessed with many goods, and a wonderful family, and all those blessings. But on this particular day, all at once, his oxen and asses were carried away by the Sabaeans. They were just carried away, and the servants that were around them were killed. And here came one to tell Job. He said he was the only one left. The others were gone. They were killed, and the oxen, the asses were carried away. And as that bad report was being given, another man yet came with another evil report. And in this case, fire from God had fallen from heaven and burned up all the sheep. And the servants were consumed with sheep. And there was only one left. He came to tell Job. And while this was being told, then another servant came, and he had more extremely distressing news. This other was still speaking, another came and said, well, the Chaldeans came. They came, and they fell upon the camels. And they carried all the camels away, and they slew the servants, and I was the only one left. And then on top of it, oh my, another one came. I just can't fathom so much in one day. I really can't. But the next thing was truly, truly hard to bear. And that messenger said that his sons and daughters, they were all together. They were at the elder brother's home, and they were eating and drinking together. It must have been a party of sorts. And it says a great wind came from the wilderness, and it smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young man and all that were in the house, and they were all dead. And the story was, the messenger said, I alone am escaped to tell thee. And can you imagine such devastation, such hard news, things so, so hard to bear? But God knew Job pretty well. He really did. He knew him wonderfully well. And did Job curse God and sin? No. It tells us that Job arose. He rent his mantle, his garment. He shaved his head. And he fell down upon the ground and he worshiped God. What an attitude. I'll tell you, what an attitude. He fell down upon the ground and worshiped God. And this is what he said, the 21st verse. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it tells us in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Oh my, that man had a deep walk with God. He loved God. He obviously was a perfect and upright man that feared God and eschewed evil. He truly was. He didn't sin or charge God foolishly. A lot of people would have blamed God. A lot of people would have got angry, had a tantrum. Who knows what they would have done in such cases? How many people could bear this news? But Job bowed down and worshiped God and didn't sin at all or charge God foolishly. So he passed that tremendous test, didn't he? He passed that. The flying colors, I'll say. And then there came another day. It tells us there it was, the sons of God, it says, came to present themselves before the Lord. And it says Satan came also. And here it is again. And God actually asked Satan, you know, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth? Perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Kept that, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And oh, Satan said, well, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. So God allowed Satan to smote Job with sickness, if you could call it that. God allowed it. That's what I see so amazingly, that God allowed it. Would have done that if God wouldn't have said, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. And I think that is so amazing, because truly, if that was the case with Job, that's the case with us too. We're in God's hands. You know, we are his children, and he cares for us, and he's not going to allow things to happen to us that are opposing his will, that are not in the will of God. He's not going to allow those to happen. I think that it is so beautiful. And of course, we know what happened in the life of Job. At that point, he was smitten with boils. And I know what one boil can look like. One boil can kill you, actually. It can be, if that goes to the bloodstream, you'll easily be dead. But this man, Job, had boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown, from head to foot. He was covered with boils. I can't imagine that, because boils, oh my, it should burn, and they're terribly hard to bear. And here we have this man, all he could do is he took a potsherd, a broken piece of pottery, to scrape himself, all that itching, all that burning. And he sat down among the ashes, and his wife came to him and says, "Dost thou retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." But you know what? Job had something deep in his heart. He said, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" And it says, in all this did not Job sin with his lips. Praise the Lord, what a man. There was a lot of deepness there in the life of Job, just true deepness.
Amen.
And on top of all of that, he had these comforters come. And Job was very well known. I believe he was a judge, most likely, there in that ancient land. And he was very well esteemed. He had done honorably, and he had helped those that needed help. I mean, the list is great. Those that Job had helped, his list of helping hand was tremendously long. But here came these comforters, and, you know, they just put it on him. They made it harder. They didn't offer comfort. They tried to accuse Job of sinning, and that's why you're afflicted. There's sin in your life, Job, and that's why you're going through all of this. But God used all of this to make Job even a better man, and to strengthen him, and to use him. And again, I see the hand of the Lord here, and the allowance of God. I couldn't help but think of our own circumstances here as I was going through this material this afternoon, and thought, here we are, just a few of us actually here in the congregation, and we all know after Pastor Meyer died that many people that had attended here just plain stopped coming. It was like a great forsaking of people, and I think we didn't know what to do. We were, you know, just puzzled and probably hoping for help in any way we could have, but most everybody left. But you know what? I think that was all the hand of the Lord. I believe the Lord has been with us, and I realized early that, yes, it looked like we're going to have to start over pretty much. But God's going to be with us. He's going to help us. And in spite of the fact that there's not very many of us, it's like the Lord cleaned house. And only a few remain. But God knows what he's doing. God's in charge. We're his children. And he knows how to put things in order. And I think how just people that had come here, even from a distance, they all left. Every single one of them except Brother Tim. Every single one of them left. One by one, story after story, for one reason or the other, and some very horrendous stories, I must say, as stories that I'm even ashamed to have to think about. But that left us. It left us as a remnant, even though we are a remnant anyway. But here, God left Brother Tim, and I'm so thankful for that. I know that's a blessing of the Lord, and he's been here to assist us, to minister, and to do the work of God, and I think we should appreciate that and thank God, because, you know, he has left us, you know, he has not left us, but he has cared for us and taken care of us and provided for us, and you know what, he's in charge, and I thank God we've been able to see some growth in this church lately. We've been able to see some new people. I thank God for that. It's just, again, we know that the Lord is with us. And it's all in his order. It's all in his time. We can't do anything outside of the Lord at all. We can't do one thing at all. We couldn't take a step without him. He's a vine. We're just the branches. And we have to abide in him. And him in us. Otherwise, there's nothing that we can do. But I couldn't help but think of First Chronicles 16 here. If we could just go here for a moment here. This was David, the psalmist, David the king's great thanksgiving to the Lord after the ark had been restored. We know that there were those years when the ark was taken away during the time of Eli the priest. Oh, that horrendous day when that ark was taken. Oh, what a horrible day that must have been when the ark, which represented God's presence, was taken from them. And my, oh my, I mean, what if God would leave us and we didn't have his presence? There'd be no hope. But God helped them anyway. God had mercy on them. And it did come to pass, that wonderful day when that ark was restored. And my, David was so glad. We know that he danced before the people. He was so happy that God had restored it. And this 16th chapter of First Chronicles is just a portion of his praise to the Lord. The things that he that came out of his mouth when he was remembering the marvelous works of the Lord. But I thought it was so beautiful. Parts of it, I just want to just go to verse 19, because we know that, oh my, there were times when they went into captivity. There were times when they had to fight, and there were times when they had to wonder if God was with them. And of course, sin was the problem. Sin in the camp always weakened them. God is a God that doesn't tolerate sin, and he wanted his people, the Hebrews, to be a chosen people. He wanted them to be separate and declare his goodness and his mercy to the others. He wanted the heathen to see his people as a God-fearing people, a precious people who did the will of the Lord. But here it was. We know that there was a time when they were just few, when they all were carried to Egypt there at the time of Joseph. And verse 19 talks about it. It says, when you were but few, even a few, and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, God was with them. Look at verse 21. It says, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. I just thought that was so beautiful. I see this in the story of Job, how Satan was really the one on the string. Satan could not touch Job unless God allowed it. And here, God, for his people here, he said, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes. No one was going to take the advantage of his people. No one at all, unless sin weakened them and they were hindered or God somehow allowed it. And verse 22 says, and saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Oh my, that was so important that they not touch those that were anointed of God. And we know that David had that so deep in his heart. David the king, David the psalmist at this time when he was running away from Saul, and Saul was his enemy. Saul had done him much harm. David shouldn't have had to run for his life. He'd only won victories for the Israelites. They should have esteemed him. They should have appreciated him. They should have recognized what a blessing he was to them. I mean, if he wanted to stood up and fought Goliath, who would have? They would have fallen to the Philistines. But David had that faith in his heart. But yet we know that Saul couldn't bear the fact that David was being used of God, that David was blessed of God, and that jealousy arose in his heart. And he came after David. He tried to take him. And there were those moments when David could have taken Saul. He was in his hands, so to speak. But this scripture here, 22, David would touch him because that man, Saul, even though he had departed from God and God was no longer even hearing him, had been anointed by God. And so it says here, saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. It's very telling here. David would not touch Saul because he knew the scripture It was important that he not touch God's anointed or do the prophets of God any harm. Likewise, that is today. We have to esteem the anointing of God, and we never want to hinder the work of God in any way or touch or destroy the prophets of the Lord, those that are anointed by God. But here I thought I could see God's sovereign will in all of this, because God declared it, God allowed it. God was not going to allow anyone to touch those people at all. They were the apple of his eye, those Hebrew people. They were his peculiar treasure. God wasn't going to allow anybody to overwhelm them, any nation, any country, any king. They were reproved for the sake of his people. Likewise, we too, oh my, we are that chosen generation, that royal priesthood, that peculiar people that God has selected and sent forth and chosen. And, you know, if God would fight for the Israelites, his first covenant people like that, if he would stand behind them in that matter, I believe he'll stand behind us too. Amen, amen, I believe that. Praise the Lord. I just saw that was so beautiful how God was with Job and all the others. God allowed all those grievances to come upon Job, every single one of them. And, you know, at the end of the story of Job unfolds, we know that God talked to Job. God himself talked to him. And, yeah, there were some things that Job needed to clear up. He just esteemed himself a little bit too highly, and God had to talk to him. But, wow, Job heard him out. As that story of Job unfolds there in the 42nd chapter of Job, Job said, "Wherefore, in verse 6, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." And it was so. It says, "And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, 'My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath.'" And then they were to make offering to the Lord. It says, "Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job." God was putting things in order at that moment, and he was telling them that Job would pray for them. Job would pray for them because God would accept Job. So it tells us, verse 9, "So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite, so far the Naamathite, went and did according to the Lord, as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord also accepted Job." And a beautiful thing happened. Job had been under a captivity. He had been under bondage. There was nothing he could do. Those boils were heavy upon him. There was nothing he could do. But then that captivity was turned. It tells us in verse 10 of this chapter, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." And we know that everything was restored, and he lived beyond that. He saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations, and he died being old and full of days. So the Lord did a work, but that captivity that was upon him was taken away. Amen. And what a beautiful thing, and what a lesson to learn here. It was turned when he prayed for his friends. And likewise, you know, sometimes you might get to that realm where, you know, maybe you're so overwhelmed by something that's going on in your own life. I tell you what, there's a secret here. There's a secret. If you pray for other people, I believe God will turn to you and answer your needs too.
Oh, amen.
But there's a need that God turned that captivity away from, yes, Job when he prayed for his friends. And that's a tremendous blessing. That's a tremendous blessing. God did that for Job, and I believe he'll do that for us too. But as I continue here tonight, I want to talk about that other captivity. Oh, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that there's none good, no, not one. We all have done wickedly. We all needed a Savior. And God looked down from heaven. He could see none that did well, none that did good, none that pleased Him. And we know that all our righteousness is only as filthy rags. There's nothing good about us in ourselves at all. There's a captivity. There's sin that comes to us. We're all born with that sinful nature. We all have need of a Savior. But praise the Lord, God can turn that captivity out of our lives. He can change us. And He made such a beautiful provision. The first covenant wasn't sufficient. The burning of bulls, goats, and sheep, it wasn't sufficient to take away sin, to atone for sin. It wasn't sufficient at all. But God had a plan. He had a beautiful plan. Let's look at Psalms 102 here. Oh, what a beautiful psalm this is. Psalm 102. And here it is. Wow, I love many, many points in this psalm. But it talks about a set time coming when the Lord would arise. If you look at verse 13, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time has come. Oh my, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. When it was that perfect time, the Savior came, the Messiah came, that set time to favor Zion. And it continues to talk about it. Verse 16 says, when the Lord shall build up Zion, He shall appear in His glory. When Zion is completed, the Lord's going to appear in His glory. And He says in verse 17, He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Praise the Lord. We can cry out to the Lord and He will not despise it. But verse 18 tells us, this shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. These situations that are now expressed in this psalm were written for a people that would follow, a generation that would follow. And the people which should be created shall praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I believe He's talking about the new covenant people. They would come and they would praise the Lord. And here it tells us, for He hath looked down from the height of His sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth. And here it is in verse 20. To hear the groaning of a prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and His praise in Jerusalem. Oh my, the Lord was looking down. He was going to regard the groaning of the prisoner, those that were bound, those that were appointed to death. And we all know the wages of sin is death. We were all bound for spiritual death. But there was one that looked down from the height of heaven. There was one, oh my, that abideth in the heavens, the creator of the universe. Oh my, the one that loved us so much that there was a plan. There was a way that He could redeem us. There was a way that we could be spared. He heard the groaning of the prisoner. And oh my, He came to loose those that were appointed to death. The Lord Jesus came, that generation that was to come. And we know that the Lord Jesus came. He looked down to loosen them, to set them free, to bring deliverance. Of course, if we go to Isaiah 61, we can read of the mighty deliverance of the Lord. And here it is. If we look at Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn. Oh, that's really beautiful.
Amen.
And there are other chapters here in Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah 42 here for a moment. Isaiah 42, and let's look at verse 6 here. And of course, here's prophetic utterances declaring again the Savior that would come. And here in verse 6 it says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of a people, for a light of the Gentiles. There was going to be a new covenant that would come forth. Jesus Christ would bring forth that new covenant. And it tells us in verse 7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Jesus was going to come to deliver, to set people free, to open the blind eyes and to bring those that were in the prison house out. Those that sat in darkness were going to see a great light. The light of the gospel was going to come upon them. Let's also look at Isaiah 49. And here it is, verse 8, that chapter 49. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee. Again, when that fullness of the time was come, God heard. And in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And it says, I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people. A new covenant he's going to bring forth to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritage. And then verse 9 tells us, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. Oh, praise the Lord, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. And you know what? Our heavenly Savior came. Our Lord Jesus came. And Luke, the fourth chapter, we have Jesus. Here he is. He's beginning his ministry. Here in the fourth chapter of Luke, and he went up to Nazareth. It tells us that was his hometown. It tells us this in the 16th verse of this chapter. And here he is. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for it to read. And here he is reading. Where did he go? He went to Isaiah 61. It says, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And there he is. He's declaring it. Those tidings that have been given so long ago by the prophet Isaiah, those good tidings unto the meek, the one that would be sent to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Oh my, here he is, Jesus, God in the flesh, proclaiming it, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. It was that time, and now he was declaring it. He was declaring it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And it says, he closed the book, he gave it again to the minister, he sat down, and all the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is a scripture fulfilled in your ears. Oh, it had come to pass, that fulfillment. And we know that Jesus went about doing all those wonderful works that were declared. He went about doing them. And, of course, in the 11th chapter of Luke, it's plainly declared. Jesus said, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. That was a sign. When the casting out of devils occurred, that was a sign that the kingdom of God had come upon them. And praise the Lord for that. And they come upon them. And of course, John the Baptist, that great prophet, the greatest of the prophets, it was declared. He had that moment when he was put into prison and you know, he had that moment of wondering. He wanted just some reassurances. And we all get to that place at times where we need reassurances. We just need to be told it again, even though maybe it's been told us many times before. Yet we just need something for that moment. And here's John. He sent his disciples forth to ask Jesus. He said in chapter 7 of Luke, John the Baptist, he sent men unto them, and the question was, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And Jesus answered that, not with words. That same hour, it tells us in the 21st verse of chapter 7 of Luke, says, in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. And he told them in verse 22, answering said unto them, this was his answer, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Oh, praise the Lord. That was the answer. He did the works that were declared, the works that the prophets had declared. Oh my, here was Jesus. He was saying to the prisoners now, go forth to them that were in darkness to show yourself. He was declaring that. He was the one that was sent forth to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, to do all those works. And here he was. Of course, Jesus declared more and more as his ministry continued. And he talked about a time of deliverance. In John, the 12th chapter, verse 31, Jesus said, as he was approaching Calvary, he said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. He was talking about the casting out of Satan out of heaven. And then he said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Oh, praise the Lord from that. Jesus was lifted up. He allowed himself to be lifted up on the cross. He who knew no sin took our sin, that we might be clothed with the righteousness of God, that we might have freedom, that we might be redeemed. Oh, my, that we might be restored, that we could be delivered. Oh, my, that door of the prison house could be opened up unto us. Oh, praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. He told them that was the time now. Oh my, when the casting out of Satan would occur. And he had told them other things back in Luke, the 11th chapter, after he had told them, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. And of course, that was so significant because under the old covenant, miracles happen. Even dead were raised at times. And miracles happen, but never the casting out of devils. So it was so significant when Jesus Christ came upon the scene. He cast out devils, and that was an indication that the kingdom of God had now arrived. It was coming. He was declaring it. He was bringing it forth. And he told them many wonderful things. Here in the 11th chapter of Luke, he's telling them, in verse 21, he says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh away from him all his armor, wherein he trusteth, and divideth his spoils. And he's talking about the work that he was doing at Calvary when the devil would be disarmed, when his armor would be taken from him, and he would have no more influence, no more strength over the people of God, when he would not have that power. He would be cast out of heaven, and that armor taken away, that armor in which he trusted would be taken from him, and his goods would all be divided as spoil. Praise the Lord. The Lord did that. And that happened at Calvary. That happened at Calvary. Of course, Colossians, the second chapter, speaks of that. Let's look at Colossians, the second chapter here. Such a beautiful chapter. We're told here in this chapter that we've been circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. How beautiful. And then we're told that we were buried with him in baptism, wherein also he arisen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And it tells us in verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Oh, what a work was done at Calvary. Those trespasses, those things that opposed us, that were written against us. In fact, it tells us verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross.
Amen.
And what else did he do? In verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Oh my, in the spiritual realm, they could see what the Lord had done. He spoiled the camp of the enemy. He spoiled the principalities of the devil. Those principalities in power, they were displayed. He made a parade of them. He triumphed over them. They were displayed vividly there in the realm of the spiritual. Praise the Lord. It was a victory. It was a victory for the people of God. It was a victory that the Lord Jesus did, that we might have freedom, that we wouldn't have to be in the pangs of death, that we wouldn't have to be captives. Oh my, that we could be delivered out of the hands of the enemy, that we could be set free. Of course, I know it tells us in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 8, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Lord Jesus did all that. He did that so that we might have that freedom in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And very interesting scripture also in Zechariah. We go to Zechariah and the 9th chapter. It also speaks of it in Zechariah. And here it tells us in the 9th verse of this chapter, Zechariah 9, verse 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Here came Jesus. Oh my. They didn't look at him as a great conqueror. He wasn't riding on a white horse at that point. He was just on a donkey, a lowly creature, showing humility. And there he was, the just one, bringing forth salvation. But the Lord was going to do a work. It tells us in verse 10, and I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen. And his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. Oh, the Lord was doing a work. He was bringing forth a new kingdom, a new covenant. His kingdom was going to be an everlasting kingdom, one that Satan could never destroy. It would never be cut off. It was going to be from sea even to sea. It was going to be from all the ends of the earth. The Lord would call forth a people of all kindreds, of all nationalities. He was going to bring forth a people that would be his own peculiar treasure, a chosen generation. Praise the Lord, a royal priesthood. Oh, it would come forth. And verse 11 here in Zechariah tells us, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. The Lord was going to set the prisoners free. It says, turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope, even today. Do I declare, I will render double unto thee. Oh, the Lord was setting them free. Let's also go to 1 Peter here. There's so many scriptures that bear this out. Let's go to 1 Peter. The 3rd chapter, it tells us what Jesus did during that period of time. Oh my, they might have thought they put him on the cross. He might have thought he was dead, but oh my, he was doing the work of God. He was setting us free from sin, death, and hell. And he was also bringing salvation to those that were in prison. Let's look at this here. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 8. For Christ also hath once suffered for the sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Oh, that's what he was doing. He was reconciling us to God. He was bringing us to God that we might have hope. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Oh my, that Spirit was well alive. And this happened at that period of time when, oh my, he was in that grave 3 days and three nights. But here it is, it says, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. He went to set them free. It tells us in the next chapter of 1 Peter, chapter 4, it says in verse 5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? It tells us in verse 6, for this cause of the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. The Lord was doing a special work then, and he was setting them free. He was bringing life to them. He preached the gospel to those that were bound, those that need deliverance, those that had never heard. He brought the gospel to them that he might bring them out of the prison house. And of course, David prophesied of this too. He said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, nor wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. David spoke of that, and his soul wasn't left in Hades. It was brought up. The Lord brought them to that heavenly place instead. There was no longer that division that had existed at that former time. But the Lord set captivity free. Oh, what a precious gift our Savior paid that we might be free in him, that we might have life everlasting. Of course, going to Matthew 18, the 18th verse. And we know this. We have this privilege. If we're the children of God, if we've been set free, if we've been delivered, it tells us in the 18th verse of chapter 18 of Matthew, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Because we have this privilege, we can bind on earth. We can bind and we can loose. And oh my, I'm learning to do that more and more as we fight that spiritual battle. I'm sensing that more and more. And it's been really something, because we are getting more and more letters from people who need deliverance. It's really something. Just yesterday, I wrote a letter to a man in prison in Chippewa Falls. And he has written before, but he's declaring how he needs help, how he's been bound by drugs and alcohol, and how he needs help. He needs deliverance. And it was a privilege to be able to write to him and tell him of the mighty deliverance work of the Lord Jesus. And praise the Lord, just last week I had another opportunity. Another email came across my computer, and it was a young man, actually. I believe he's in Arizona, and he was asking, what can I do? I need help. I've been bound. I'm captive. I want to serve the Lord, but I feel like I can't. And I had the privilege of writing to him, and then I talked to him on the telephone and prayed with him. And I just got another email from him, and it's possible that he might like to come here. I don't know exactly how the Lord will do it all, but I see that the Lord is working. There's just been so many prayer requests in this regard lately. It's time for us to break down those things that bind and hinder people. Oh my, we're told in Luke, the 10th chapter, that we should tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And he said, but nothing shall by any means hurt you. We've got freedom from the devil. He is bound to the children of God. He's been cast out, and we have great power with God if we'll only come against the works of darkness. Of course, in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, it tells us, and if you'd like to turn there, this is important scripture here. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And we'll look. Okay. I get to 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. God's given us different weapons, isn't he? He's given us different weapons. It tells us in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not earthly things at all. But he's given us spiritual means to bring down the things that come against us. Powers and principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world, all the strongholds, the things that come against us. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Oh my, all those fortresses, all those things that come against us in the spiritual world,
amen.
We can bring them down. We might walk in the flesh, but God has given us something beyond that. He's given us a means to fight. We could put on that whole armor of God, we're told in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And we're told that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're fighting against.
Amen.
But the Lord has enabled us. He's given us his spirit so that we could overcome. He's given us the armor of God that we might put it on and be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Our loins girt about with truth, that breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and that precious shield of faith that we must have on at all times, plus the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's our armors. That's our armory. That's what we put on. That's how we win the battles. We put those things on so that we can fight the battles that oppose us. And you know what? There is great deliverance for the children of God. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, again, going back there, verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The Lord has a way that those strongholds can be broke down. The devil disabled in our lives so that he has no control over us. We can be freed from that. He who hath been made free is free indeed. The scripture tells us, freed by the Spirit of God. Where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. There's a special liberty where we can rejoice in the Lord, where we can sing, where we can have that freedom in God. Because he's delivered us. He's set us free. He's put our feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus. We don't have to be bound. We don't have to be bound. We can sing with all our heart. I'll tell you what. If you're not quite there yet, there's deliverance. There's deliverance. You know, if there are things that are afflicting you, that bind you, there's deliverance. We don't have to be bound by addictions. We can be set free by the blood of Jesus. Oh my, there's something in your heart that's wrong. Strife, envy, jealousy, bitterness, anything like that. If you can't forgive somebody, that can leave. You've got to get rid of that. You've got to give that to Jesus Christ and let him take that stronghold from you. Things that interfere, addictions that come against you. The Lord wants us to be free. He doesn't want us to be addicted to sleeping pills or other drugs, Vicodin or caffeine for the matter. He certainly doesn't want us smoking cigarettes, or he doesn't want us drinking alcohol, or certainly any of those other things that bind people. Oh my, our God, he came, our Savior came that we might be set free, that we might fight this battle, that we might know deliverance. And you know what? He made it so we can worship him in spirit and in truth. The Father seeketh such to worship him. We've got to worship him. You can't be bowed. Your head should go up. You need to praise the Lord. And he's redeemed you and set you free. You need to praise the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. He puts that song in our hearts. I remember how it was in my old life before I received the Holy Ghost. Tell you what, I couldn't pray. I couldn't raise my hands. I really couldn't. I remember in our children's church one time, they asked me to pray, and I'll tell you, the words wouldn't come out of my mouth. I couldn't pray. There was no way I could. I was bound. But I praise the Lord. There was a day when the Lord came into my life, and He set me free.
Yes.
He set me free, and I can praise the Lord now. I can worship Him. I don't care where I am. I'm going to worship the Lord. He sets us free.
Amen.
Amen. And we don't have to be bound by that. We can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. I mean, that's His expectation, that we not only worship Him in truth, but in spirit. We need to let go and let the Lord have His way in our life. We don't have to be bound. We have been loosened from all those things that bind and hinder other people. Oh my, He's given us a mighty deliverance. Oh my, He's set us free. Oh my, you know, the 35th chapter of Psalms talks about deliverance. And I certainly couldn't read the whole thing right now. I know my moments are short right now. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. But this chapter tells us how to fight. And as they fought in the natural realm in the times of the kings and old Israel, it also teaches us how to fight in the spiritual realm. And just looking at a few verses here, as David, so often, it's the Psalm of David, and you know, he had so much coming against him, and he's talking about, you know, the enemy, let them be confounded, verse 4, and put to shame that seek after my soul. He could feel that conflict in his heart. Oh, he could feel the enemy chasing him, and it wasn't always just a natural enemy, but there's a spiritual enemy that sometimes comes after our soul to seek and devour, to destroy, to captivate us, to set us back, all those things. But let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Oh, it says in verse 5, let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Oh my, he's telling us how to fight. He's telling us how to fight the enemy. Again, we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're not fighting flesh and blood. There's a spiritual realm that opposes us and comes after us. But you know what? Oh my, the children of the Lord have arrived to shout and sing, we've been redeemed. And in this 35th chapter it says, in verse 26, let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice in mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. And verse 27, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteousness, that favor my righteous cause rather. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Oh, praise the Lord, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Hey, there's victory in praise. You may feel bowed. You may feel hindered. Just try praising the Lord. Praise Him. He's going to set you free if you'll allow Him to do that.
Amen.
He came to set us free. Oh, my, we can say, go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Go, ye hindering spirits. That 49th chapter of Isaiah so beautifully brings out, we can declare, we can ask, we can command, that we can say to the prisoners, go forth, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. Oh, praise the Lord came to set us free, to deliver us. Oh, that we not be hindered, oh God, that we could all live in victory, oh Lord, that we could know Him now in His wonderful salvation, that we could walk before Him, oh my. One of these days we're going to stand before Him, and my, this is the time. We've got to have that freedom in Jesus Christ. Oh, we've got to have that freedom. I just pray that everyone, oh God, would be able to rejoice in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
That everyone that names the name of Christ would be set free. That they would depart from iniquity and be set free and not let those chains bind you and hinder you and seek to destroy you, because we have liberty in Jesus Christ. We have been set free, and we need to declare it. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you, God. Oh, God, we thank you for such mighty deliverance, God. God, we thank you that you came to set the captives free. Oh, God, and to bring deliverance to them that are bound. Oh, God, we thank you that you came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God, we praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that you would help us. God, that you deliver us, oh, God. Oh, Lord, that you bring us forth as a mighty people that know their God, oh, Lord, that do exploits, God, that are strong, oh, Lord, that have faith, oh, God, that know how to fight, God. Teach us how to fight the enemy, Lord. Oh, God, teach us how to have strength to prevail, oh, God, to be victorious, oh, God, in Jesus' name. Oh, Jesus, in your name, oh, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, Brother Tim is going to come and we'll sing. And I just pray that anybody wants special prayer, we can pray. God is here. He's here to help us. He's here to deliver us. He's here to set us free. We don't have to be bound. Oh, Lord, the ones that God has made free are free indeed. Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Wonderful. Thank you, Shirley. That was really good. Praise God for that. Now, well, we can all have that victory. I know because if you recall, when the Israelites left Egypt, they were told to go possess the land. Just because they were delivered from Egypt didn't mean that they still had the victory. They had to go fight giants if they were going to go possess that land.
That's right.
Amen? They had to cross over the Jordan, and then they had to go fight giants to possess the land. So it is in our own lives. If you have a thing in your life that's become a giant, an idolatrous thing perhaps, or a habit, or a resentment, or bitterness, or anger, or hatred towards a person, or an organization, or whoever, however, whatever it is in your heart that's not right, I don't know. Only God can know what's in your heart. I don't know anything. Because I have to look in the mirror of my own life. Amen? So, I know that the Lord's here to help. But you know, many people will stand on that day and wish to God that they had gotten right while they had a chance. If they don't get themselves right now, while they're in the here and now and among the living, or if you could say perhaps among the dead, I don't know. But we need to get our lives right now while we have an opportunity. Because when we stand before God... Oh, the Bible talks about being converted. If you think that, you know, just going to church is going to make you a Christian, you're wrong. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to Burger King makes you a hamburger. You know? We all need to know that there comes a time when you need to be converted. Just like Peter, who had to be converted, even after following the Lord for three, whatever it was, years, he had to be converted. He had not yet been filled or touched with the infilling of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
We all need that.
Yeah.
If we're going to have the victory, if we're going to be overcomers, overcoming by the blood of the Lamb, and find entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So praise God. There's a printout there. Somewhere in the seats there. It's called Faith is the Victory. If you happen to have a... Oh, wait, you know what? It's in the book, too. I know that Jane mentioned that to me.
I think it was the other one, though, that's in the book.
Faith is a Victory. I think Jane mentioned it was in the Melodies of Praise book, I thought. Isn't that right, Jane?
I think that's Victory Jesus.
Huh?
I think that's Victory Jesus.
Oh, okay. I apologize. Okay. We have more books like this anywhere, perhaps? The Gospel Melodies books? In that book, it's on 121, if you're able to find one of those books there. Do you have that, Shirley?
Yes, you? I do.
Okay. Okay, good. Well, praise God. Praise God, I'm ready to roll. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press. The battle in the night shall fill the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all your strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword, the word of God. We tread the road, the saints above, with shouts of triumphs trod. By faith they like the whirlwind's breath swept over every field. The faith by which they conquer death is steel, our shining shield. Our faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dreaded array. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth then girds about. The earth shall tremble 'neath the tread, and echo with our shout. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. A glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angel he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts of love aflame, who will faint. Wish all the hosts of friends in Jesus' concrete name. Our faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. A glorious victory that overcomes the world. A faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. A glorious victory that overcomes the world. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Be dismissed under prayer. Amen. Praise God.